Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast. Our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned Into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
He spent over 400 days in a Sudanese prison. His crime? Loving Jesus and spreading the good news. He is on with me right now. This guy's been one of my heroes for a long time. I actually caught wind that someone gave him a copy of one of my books, and I've followed his story. I've shared his story with you. In fact, many of you who've been with this program a long time have prayed with us for Peter's release. Peter Jaszczyk is with me right now. And Peter, God bless you, man. Tell everyone where you're calling in from today.
Yeah, God bless you too, brother. I'm calling from the Czech Republic. That's actually my home country where I have lived my whole life. Actually, it used to be called Czechoslovakia till 1992, but now since 1993, it's Czech Republic, and I'm so excited to be at home. And also, I'm so thankful for the faithful prayers for many of your listeners and many brothers and sisters from all over the world, and especially from the United States.
Well, God bless you, Peter. I stood in front of a group of our high schoolers at Calvary Baptist Church. They had me speak to all the kids in the youth group, and I held your picture up, and I said, Please pray for Peter. He is in a Sudanese, in Khartoum, I believe it was, in prison. You are a Christian put in prison. Now, let me ask you, Peter, just to clear the record here. Did you steal something? Did you kill someone? Did you cheat on your taxes? What landed you in jail?
Yeah, you know, I have been working for the Voice of the Martyrs, since the early 90s, because I'm the co-founding member of the Czech Voice of the Martyrs. But since 2002, I've been working for also the Voice of the Martyrs in the United States. And that brought me to many countries in Central Asia, Middle East, and Africa in the end. And in 2015, I heard about quite compelling stories about persecution in Sudan. I have visited the country of Sudan when it was still one country, but after the secession of the Southern Sudan, when the persecution because of the Christian faith stopped there, we focused on Northern Sudan, where Christians are still being persecuted, especially in the areas like Nuba Mountains or Brunei area, where there are Christian minorities living there. There are actually majorities there in that area, but they're minority in the country of Sudan. And I heard compelling stories of persecution at one of the conferences with the North Sudanese leaders. And I heard about one young Muslim background believer who was supposed to be killed, in Sudan. And it's still applied now after all those, cosmetic changes, that if someone is a Muslim and becomes a believer in Jesus, the only penalty for that is a death penalty. And so I heard about this young Muslim background believer student, and I also saw pictures of completely demolished churches right in Khartoum. And I got convinced immediately that I need to visit the country. So I arranged meetings, carefully through secure ways of communication with those leaders. And in December 2015, I went there, and I planned to go there just for 4 days. I couldn't allow to stay there longer because of my busy schedule, because at that time I was overseeing nearly 300 projects in 27 African countries. And, I accomplished everything what I wanted to do. I interviewed and documented the injuries of this young guy, and I also visited the sites of the completely demolished churches. I didn't take any photos of those sites because it was at night. I was told that I couldn't visit those places during the daylight because I would be arrested immediately. Because, in this country of Sudan, they have expelled in January 2013, nearly all Christian NGO workers. And I was actually being invited, I have discussed it with some of the expats from Sudan, with some of the leaders from inside the North Sudan. And they all recommended that I could go, but I was probably the only person who visited, from Christian NGO background, the country of Sudan, after this expulsion that happened in January 2013. So even though I got used to be probably monitored in some countries, I was a bit surprised, when I was already in the airport in Khartoum, holding boarding passes for my flights home, and stopped by secret police, who immediately asked me for my cell phone, laptop camera, video camera, all equipment, and they started to interrogate me. But their English was very poor, so I tried other languages that I speak. In fact, English is my fourth language. So I tried, German, French, Russian. I know that some of the officers from Sudanese secret police were trained in Russia, and they called their supervisor, and then I was transferred to the headquarters of secret police, where they interrogated me for nearly 24 hours. And after that, I saw them filling some papers, and I got the impression that that was probably not to any hotel. And I was literally, I was right, because I was put into the first out of the five different prisons that I went through in the coming 445 days. And, of course, it was not easy. The interrogation was not easy, but I think I had good training, from my past, when I grew up under communist persecution. And I remember, one time I came home from high school where when I realized that both of my parents were missing. They were arrested in two different places at the same time and being interrogated and questioned for the underground church work that my father did. He was a pastor in the official church, but, at the same time, he was rather using the underground and, working in the underground church. And that's why he got into viewfinder of the secret police. And, when I heard to my parents' discussion, when they were talking about the interrogation, exchanging experience, I had no idea at the time that that was actually a preparation for me, for what was supposed to come many, many years later. And, in one sense, it was not easy. I have learned a lot of lessons. We can talk about it later.
Well, you wrote a whole book about it. Imprisoned with ISIS.
Yeah.
Faith in the face of evil. Peter Chosik is who you're hearing from. He's a Czech from the Czech Republic, a man of God, put in prison for over a year in the Sudan. Not the most pleasant place to be. But tell us about your faith. What did Jesus teach you? Did you grow closer to God while you were in prison, Peter, or did you get bitter and angry and vow to have revenge?
In one sense, I had this great privilege, that I met people after I started to work for the Voice of the Martyrs, people who not only lost their material things, but I met those and interviewed and helped those who have lost their beloved ones. But not even only that, I had the great privilege to meet people whom I consider heroes of faith.
Wow.
Those who have lost parts of their own bodies because they didn't want to renounce their faith. And I have heard from them many times, that they considered the persecution for the name of Christ as a privilege. That's exactly how they understood, and later on I started to understand it as well, from, for instance, Philippians 1:29, where Paul says to the Christians in Philippi that it has been granted to you as a privilege not only to believe in God, but also to suffer for his name. So if you analyze this verse logically, it is a privilege to suffer for Christ. And I remember that even when that happened in our country, in Czechoslovakia, in the late 70s, it was interesting that I felt certain, despite the intimidation, and there was at least some fear, I remember that my father brought me the book written by Richard Wurmbrand, the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs, In God's Underground. And this book, written in German, but I was fluent in German at that time, that my father just gave me this book when he saw me being a little bit, frightened after the interrogation of both of my parents. And he said, simply read this book. It will encourage your faith. And I can tell you honestly that this book after Bible is my, in my life, the second most important book. And through that, you know, I have learned also that the Lord is faithful to those who are going through persecution. And, you know, I, in one sense, you know, I was teaching others that they should get ready for persecution, because the Lord Jesus was teaching his followers that persecution is an essential part of a Christian life, of a follower of Christ. So how could I be surprised, you know, that when I happened in this situation? But of course, so I've never asked God, why that happened to me? You know, I was encouraging others with that. So, I mean, yeah, it came in my life, into my life. But, you know, when the days became weeks and weeks became months and months became a year and more, you know, I, even though I didn't never spoke like that, but somehow inside me there was this unspoken, how long, Lord? How right. long I will have to be here? And, you know, I have learned a lot of spiritual lessons. And, of course, the first one was probably the most difficult one. I have learned what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, when he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Mm. In fact, you know, I was amidst of the enemies of the gospel, because they put me into the first cell with six other members of Islamic State.
Wow. Titus, so you were in prison with ISIS. Now, tell us more about that. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk more with Peter Chosik and his amazing story. His book is Imprisoned with ISIS, Faith in the Face of Evil. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. More Experiencing Truth after this right here. I want to say a special thank you to a wonderful partner helping us advance the message of this program of the gospel. And the thank you goes out to MyPillow.com. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has now opened his heart to say thank you as well. He wants to give you the opportunity to do what I've done. I've slept on this pillow. I love MyPillow. I sleep better. What would you give for a good night's sleep? Right now, for the first time, you can get deep discounts on all the MyPillow products. I'm talking about the MyPillows, the mattress toppers, the bed sheets, and the body pillow. All their products right now, all you got to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials. MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and you'll save big. You won't believe the savings. Just enter promo code TRUTH when you get there. All these products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You can also call this toll-free number, 800-944-5396. Thank you, MyPillow, for partnering with us to advance the good news of the gospel. And thank you to all you guys that have checked them out and supported our sponsors. Imagine showing up into another country. You're with a ministry. You're there on a mission to build up the church, to encourage the saints. You've got about 4 days planned for this trip to Sudan, but then they start asking you questions. Then they take your papers. Then they take your cell phone. Then they throw you in the slammer for 445 days with warlords and members of ISIS. What do you do? What did Peter Chosik do? He's with me right now, and Peter, I love your ministry. He's a spokesperson for the Voice of the Martyrs, a global ambassador. He grew up, his family had been persecuted for the faith in Christ. He loves Jesus. He's got just a heart for the lost. And Peter, I first met you through my involvement as a board member of the Persecution Project Foundation with Brad Phillips and Ed Lyons and Higazi. And they were giving
us
these Book of Acts reports from what God was doing, how God was using you to minister Christ in a prison in Khartoum. Folks, this isn't your friendly neighborhood jail. This is a prison with some violent people who'd blown a bunch of people up. And Peter, there you find yourself on a 444-day stop, unplanned, in Sudan. Wow. Christians in the West were so comfortable. What's your challenge to us, Peter, about your experience and how we need to wake up and come alive for the gospel?
Yeah. You know, I found out quite soon who my companions in my cell, who they were, because, you know, they asked me a simple question, you know, because you have no newspapers, you have no television, no radio in this prison. And they asked me, tell us what's new in the world. And I shared the news that were still deep in my mind, you know, what happened a few weeks before my prison experience, what happened in Paris, you know. And I asked him, have you heard what happened in Paris? And I said, no, tell us. So I told them about the 129 people who got killed by ISIS, you know, through five coordinated attacks in Paris. And When I mentioned to them, you know, that 129 people were killed, they interrupted me and they burst into celebration, you know. They started to shout Allahu Akbar for several minutes, hug each other, jump, you know. I've seen some scenes like that, you know, whenever, you know, some Western embassies or Israel was attacked, you know, in the past. You know, you see some of the Muslim extremists rejoicing and shooting in the air. You know, I've seen this on television, but when you see this rejoicing about these bad things that happened to these innocent people, you know, it's really frightening. And so I was very cautious, but later on I realized that they were at first trying to get some information from me, and then they started to limit my freedoms of movement in this crowded cell. I know it sounds a bit silly, but yeah, it was, I couldn't speak when I wanted. I was only supposed to answer their questions, and they started to slander me with bad names. I was not called Peter anymore. I was called in Arabic, Khinzir, which means the filthy pig. And they started later on to beat me, slap my face, fist to my face, you know, use the wooden stick or kicking me with their legs. And they always came with new ways of how they could, you know, torture me and beat me. And at the same time, you know, I lost in the first 3 months, I lost 55 pounds of my body weight. And in the first month, because of the internal bleeding, I have lost literally half of my blood. You know, I was heavily anemic. And that, when you are physically so weak, you are also with such a low, you know, blood count, it affects your emotions. And I was also at the bottom of my emotional strength. And that was the moment when I experienced the weakness of myself and I could experience the strength of the Lord. You know, I was able to, and I prayed, ask the Lord to give me the right words to answer their questions about my Christian faith. And I was able to share some of the stories of the courageous Christians, even though their reaction was also unexplainable and absolutely frightening. But the Lord gave me this privilege to share the gospel with them. And I could even pray for them that the Lord would reveal himself to them as the Lord, Savior and God.
Amen.
And, you know, this was I can tell you, not only to share the gospel with my words, but also with my attitudes. The Lord Jesus said, you know, that if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn the other one to him. I can tell you honestly, that's not my normal nature.
Wow.
It was not me. It was Christ in me who was able to turn my other cheek to them when they were beating me into my face.
Wow. What a testimony. Peter Jasek is with us right now from the Czech Republic. He loves Jesus. He was in Sudan. What was going to be a four-day missions trip there turned into be a 440-day confinement to prison with warlords who beat him and physically hit him and punched him and bludgeoned him with sticks, cut him, attacked him, but God used him to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, of the nine Beatitudes, two of them, Christ pronounces a blessed are those who persecute you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Great is your reward in heaven. Peter, your reward is great in heaven. I don't understand this kind of persecution. I've been laughed at. I've been mocked and I've absorbed persecution of a lot lighter level, but you're here, you've been beaten and imprisoned for your faith in Christ. So grateful for your testimony. We're out of time. I wanted to ask you, you're challenged, everyone out there. A lot of folks in our culture have been beaten up, have been attacked, have suffered much. A lot of folks around the world, Christians. What do you say to the Christian out there about the need to wake up and be ever vigilant for the gospel of Christ while we're waiting for the King to return in our witness? What's your parting challenge, Peter? And by the way, I want to tell everyone to get a hold of his book, Imprisoned with ISIS, a powerful book that's just coming out any time now. But Peter, what's your parting challenge with everyone?
You know, I would say that I would like to encourage, you know, everyone to think about persecution from a different perspective, you know, not to view it as something unusual, but rather to get ready for that and consider it like an essential part of a Christian life. Because, you know, the Lord Jesus was preparing his followers that they will be persecuted. He said in John 15, they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. But he never promised that he will take us out or deliver us from the persecution,
right,
that we will be always rescued from prison. You know, he in Luke 12, he says, that some of you will be killed. And, when you think about what Apostle Paul says, that he says that everyone who wants to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You know, what you hear nowadays is rather completely different. You hear if you become a believer and follower of Christ, you should be what? Healthy, wealthy, happy, and everything what you ask for, you should get right now. That's not the gospel that I read in the New Testament. Yeah, and, I think the persecution is really an essential part. But many people ask me, how could we get ready for persecution? You know, I can, it's a difficult question, but I can try to simply answer it. I can tell you that if you would feel ready for persecution, you would feel strong enough and you will think that, oh, my faith is so strong, I can guarantee you that you will fail. I think we have to be humble. We have to, and there is one secret that I always tell people, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there is no test or no temptation, the same word in Greek being translated in two different ways. There's no test that would be beyond our human strength. And the Lord has promised to give us the strength, if we trust in him, to go through it victoriously. But to go through persecution victoriously, it doesn't always mean that you will get released, you will get healed. It means, as Paul says in Romans 8, for instance, he says that for your sake, we are considered like sheep to be slaughtered. Yes, that's the quotation from the Old Testament. But Paul says that we Christians are considered like the sheep to be slaughtered. But he continues, but yet in all of that, we are more than conquerors. So if you want to be a more than a conqueror, you should be ready also to die for Christ. But we can be sure that the Lord will give us strength enough in the right moment. But there is one key element for us to be in this connection with our Lord. In words, if I would use the words from John 15, when Jesus is talking about the comparing himself to the wine tree and comparing us to the branches and his father to the wine dresser, he says, abide in me. And this abiding, in Christ, that's the key to the best preparation for any situation in our lives, including persecution. If we abide in Christ, we can be sure that he will be in us and with us in any situation that we can happen to be in. But, to abide in Christ, I would simply say it has three principles, that we need to observe. The Lord Jesus already told his disciples, you are already clean because of the words that I spoke to you. In other words, if we want to abide in Christ, we have to abide in his word. I was without the Bible for first five wow. months. When I got the Bible, I started to read it. I was in solitary, in my second solitary confinement, and I read the Bible standing at the window, during the daylight, and I read it from Genesis to Revelation within 3 weeks. I was so hungry after the Word of God. If we abide, and the Lord taught me through reading, if we abide in his Word, we abide in Christ. The second thing is we, as the branch in the tree, we have to abide in the body of Christ, in his church. Every Christian, a living Christian, a believer, has to be part of the living Christian fellowship. There is no solitary Christianity that would work. We have to be in a living Christian fellowship. And just to shorten it up a little bit, the third thing, most important, is like the branch being in the tree, we have to have this intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus through prayer. We have to abide in prayers with our intimate relationship with our Lord. If we have these three things, abiding in his word, abiding in his body, and abiding in prayer, we could be sure that we are serving the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Sovereign Lord, and I think that's one thing that people can immediately realize when they open the book In Prison with ISIS. From the first page of the book, they will realize the divine preparation 2.5 years before my prison experience, how the Lord was preparing me for that, and that He was in control through all of that. Just imagine, you know, I had 5 months deepening my prayer life without the Bible, and my faith was tested, you know.
Yeah, you had persecution without and all kinds of attacks on you just for your faith in Christ.
After that, I had 3 months of this wonderful private Bible study with Holy Spirit in my solitary confinement. But that was all a preparation, what was supposed to come. After 8 months, when our court case started, you know, and we had to be transferred to different prison, we were transferred to Al Huda prison, where for 6 months I could preach, you know, in the little cell that was, you know, made normally accommodating 100 plus people, prisoners, but they turned it into a small chapel. And for 6 months, with two Sudanese pastors, we could preach to absolutely hopeless, desperate, and forgotten people who needed Jesus. You know, I remember the first turning point in my view on my prison time was after 4 months. You know, I was 4 months and one day in prison, being squeezed into the second cell of the second prison in Niaba Mendola, where we were 50 plus people in a simply small room, 25 square meters. And one night they brought 12 Eritrean refugees, and the Holy Spirit spoke very clearly to me, go sit beside them and share the gospel with them. When I did that, you know, they accepted Jesus. You know, their hearts were open and touched by sharing the gospel. And the next morning they were transferred to a different prison. You know, we spent the rest of the night, you know, rejoicing in their new faith and sharing more about Christ. But
that's
the next
amazing.
Morning, these guys were transferred to next prison, and I could not see them anymore, but my spiritual eyes were open in that moment. I realized, and I said, Lord, now I know why I had to be in prison 4 months and one day, because these people needed to hear the gospel. I was so selfish in the first 4 months. I wanted to be released and to go home. But the Lord Jesus had a different plan for my life. Mm. And, you know, when me and the two Sudanese pastors were able to preach in Al Huda Chapel, you know, I remember that we all agreed that we stopped being worried about, you know, how much more time we will have to spend in prison, because we saw clearly that the Lord was using us, and we were so assured that when He opens the door, no one can close. But when He closes the door, no one can open. And, you know, I can honestly, without any exaggeration, tell you that these 6 months, you know, during these during which the number of attendees in the small chapel grew up from something like 20 to more than 200, you know, these 6 months were not only the best 6 months of my prison life, but they were literally the best 6 months of my life, period. Mm. I've never seen so many people coming to Christ, you know, so, and not only coming to Christ and forgetting about them, you know, we were living with those people. We were witnessing the changes in their lives when their lives were transformed through, you know, reconciliation with God through the blood of Jesus.
Leading souls to Christ in prison. Put in prison, could have been moping, planning a lawsuit, complaining, oh, so woe is me. What does Peter do amid beatings, bludgeonings, being with closed fists punched in the face by radical Muslim warlords in a horrible prison in Sudan? What does he do? He leads people to Christ. His whole story is contained in his book, a brand new book called Imprisoned with ISIS, Faith in the Face of Evil. He is Peter Chosik, and a great man of God. Peter, thank you for your work with the Persecution Project Foundation. Thank you for your work with the Voice of the Martyrs, an amazing ministry, Voice of the Martyrs, VOM, that has helped so many in the persecuted church around the world minister to those who are in prison, sharing Christ's love. And then you actually were weaponized by God in a prison to lead a bunch of folks to Christ. What timing, what a testimony that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to share that with us. God bless you, my brother. We'll have you on again, okay, for sure.
Yeah. God bless you too. Bye-bye.